You're joining We the People Radio on KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. It's a chilly morning out there.
I'm not cold anymore.
It's been a different week.
I got here in 3 minutes.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that.
Why? That was a world record. I cut my time in half.
So, you're joining Bob Martin, our engineer. He's over there grinning.
Good morning, ladies.
Yeah, he was already here.
Elizabeth and Aaron.
We're having a contest to see which one of you could give me a heart attack first.
I called.
I can't yet. My cell phone broke.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't gotten a new one. Anyway, you are tuning in at the tail end of election week, and I don't know about everybody else out there, but hopefully you've been sleeping good. I guess that depends on how you voted. Anyway, I had all...
Or maybe you should have been sleeping, depending on how you voted.
I have all kinds of quips buried in the recesses of my mind.
Really?
Things I want to say.
I'm still just angry.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, they're looking for little things that they can do to make themselves feel better, and mostly because they're really pissed off. And so what I did yesterday is, over the years, I've collected, DVDs. Because we don't have cable, so when we want to watch something, we watch a movie, we pop it into the VCR. And so anyway, I've got, pretty decent inventory of movies, and there's a handful of Hollywood celebrities that jumped on board this election.
I know what you're going
to
say.
And I happen to have some of their movies on hand. I was going to bring them in and read them all off. And, you know, that kind of brings me to a thought, because one of the things that keeps popping up in the analysis of the election was that we need to take into account the actual culture of America and the culture of those that are voting, and culture plays into it, like social media. And I don't disagree with that. And so, because folks in the entertainment industry have the ability to influence. And so there were a number of Hollywood actors and actresses who jumped on board, on this election and the previous one. And I have no problem with, whether somebody's liberal or conservative or moderate or whatever. And that's entirely your business. And you also have the right to speak your mind. I also have the right to boycott anything you do.
There you go.
And so, and the thing that I have a problem with some of these folks was that they were so shrill and vile toward everyone that had any conservative values. And those are the people going to the movie theaters and buying tickets to watch their movies. I mean, they slammed all of us. And so, just to bring a few to mind in case you weren't paying attention, Morgan Freeman. I love Morgan Freeman.
He's dead to me now, though.
He's dead. And Scarlett Johansson.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Nanny Diaries.
I still don't know.
Who was the gal that played in The Devil Wears Prada?
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. And she was heading up, you could see her waving her fist, crying out against the 1% when she makes $20 million a movie. With the Occupy movement, she marched with them down the street in New York or something.
I guess I should figure out who
she is. So I had to dump her movies. And that's one thing that you can do is really...
Not clear on the concept of hypocrisy.
No, not at all. So that was something that I spent yesterday doing, and it actually made me feel better. And so I thought, I'll take all these movies, and I will take them to Goodwill, and I'll donate them. And then I thought, I don't think I want them circulating back into the world. I don't think we should recirculate these movies. We need to pull them out. So I just want you to know that I'm going to do something environmentally inappropriate with them.
You're going to
burn them? I'm going to make you happy. You will be proud of me.
You throw them out the window of your car?
I have a whole stack of movies.
How about chopping them up and using them for cat litter?
I'm going to do all kinds of things with these movies. Oh, Matt Damon, don't forget him. I think that he was licking his wounds from having to admit he was wrong the first time around, but he did so much damage the first time around that too bad.
Well,
too little, too late.
I'm going to focus on the people who actually did a good job.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to support the crap out of them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But if you need something to make you feel better, that's something you can do.
But purging the other guys?
Yeah. And get rid of all your Bruce Springsteen records.
I'm down with that. And don't play him anymore, Bob.
And Cher, although Cher kept coming to the surface,
she
doesn't do anything, so I have nothing of hers to throw away.
She's always been a knucklehead.
I was a music programmer for a lot of years, and I came to the realization a long time ago, if I threw out the artists that I disagreed with politically, I'd lose over half of my library. So
yeah.
I
we're good. We'll just get down to one song.
But keep my music and politics separate.
But on a personal level,
except
when
we're on a show like this,
you
of course.
Can go home and do it.
except when the music and the show coincide.
Except when we're on a show like this, then we use the music to make our point.
Yeah. Ugh. So don't we ever. Hey, so on the phone in the chaos of our morning here, now that we're all settling in, opening our computers, getting situated, we have Mike Spence, the president of Conservative Republicans of California. And we left this Sunday open just to see what popped up and see what we wanted to do. And after Tuesday, I was like, oh, we got to get somebody on here who knows a lot more than we do to, I don't know, give us either a look back or a look forward or a snapshot or
help us make sense
or
of it
a
all.
Warning. So, Mike, I'm not sure which that's going to be, but it's all you, buddy.
It's all me.
It's all you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, I had a friend that called me that asked me what the silver lining for the Republicans in California was, and my response was that that the speaker didn't realize he could won three more assembly seats had he put money there, because there were three assembly seats that we won with under 53% of the vote. So it was obviously pretty bad.
But even that doesn't make us feel better.
Yeah, I don't think it would. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but it was really bad in California.
You know, I read something this morning that said that if the rest of the nation isn't really careful, they're going to end up with a one-party system like the state of California has now.
Well, I think there are like something like 20 states where the Republicans control, you know, the governor and the state houses, and then there's 14 where the Democrats do. And Illinois just became supermajority, just like California did for Democrats.
Oh, wow. And so how many states are that close to a supermajority on either side?
Well, it's just the two, Illinois and California.
Okay.
And so by doing that, answer me this: how much did the change in the way our primary system operated, the top two system, how much did that play into this?
Well, I think it played a role in that there were several races on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, where it was Democrat on Democrat or Republican on Republican.
Yeah, we had one of those unpleasant.
And unfortunately, that meant a lot of money was being spent in those races. Now, the Democrats had to spend money, but, of course, they have more money and endless amounts of money, you know, from unions and from other special interests and, you know, from some of the Hollywood people you mentioned. And so, you know, we don't have that kind of money on our side usually. And so that it was being soaked up in, you know, some Republican on Republican races was a real problem for us.
So
I think that dynamic was very bad. As far as the money. Now, it did help us in one assembly seat because the congressional race didn't have a Democrat in it. It was supposed to be competitive for a Democrat, but because one didn't make it to the top two, you know, it didn't matter, and so that actually probably saved a seat. But I think it soaked up a lot of money and a lot of effort in places that, you know, we didn't need to do that.
Sure, because in a lot of places, like up here, we had two Republicans running for the assembly, but in a different world, if you know, if that race was, you know, fair, you know, not in trouble, that money could have gone to help somebody else.
Exactly. But and it money was being poured into that. And,
right.
And, you know, we don't have as much money as the Democrats do in California. And so it hurt us more.
So what about going forward? I mean, what does this look like with, I used the F word, sorry.
Yeah, boy, they
forward,
really destroyed
forward,
our terminology.
From my vocabulary. I got to come, I maybe onward.
You can't say forward, you can't say hope, you can't say change.
Uh-uh. And onward always reminds me of the wagon train, so maybe I'm just going to regress to the wagon train and go with onward. What does onward look like for us?
Well, I'm going to, I am still waiting to figure out, well, first of all, the supermajorities won't really take effect right away because a couple state senators got elected to Congress. They have to do special elections. If there's an assembly member, you know, that gets elected there, then there's a vacancy there. And so the supermajorities aren't there. But you mark, you know, the thing that's always funny to me is that the smaller and smaller that our numbers end up in Sacramento, the more somehow Republicans are to blame for any problem there is.
that is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The people who have no say are the idiots.
Yeah, it's the Democrats are running around always trying to defeat the Republican minority. And so I'm still trying to figure out exactly how they're going to do that this time, this year. But I know at some point this year, Republicans will be blamed for holding something up that, we can't, hold up. But the media will blame us for something. I just know they will.
Well, yeah, because at the federal level, we're responsible for jamming up the budget process, although they held the entirety of Congress and the presidency for the first part of his term. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
How did we jam that up again?
Yeah, exactly. It will be that kind of thing. But, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot more, taxes and or fees, whatever you want to call them, that we'll be able to get through. And actually, the thing that they're talking about is changing the way California operates now that they have this two-thirds, and they really want to target the initiative process to, quote-unquote, reform it. And
get rid of it.
Well, I don't think they want to get rid of it because they want to be able to use it. But, the problem is every time you reform it or make it harder, people don't like the fact that people with money, have to be involved in order to get stuff passed or put on the ballot. But, if you just make it harder, it just means only the super rich can be, just not a normal rich, but super rich. And so, we'll see. I think that you'll see a lot, all those kind of things. You'll see things dealing with the voting process and things like that. And the other thing you're going to see is you're going to see business give a lot of money to Jerry Brown because he'll be the last backstop, and he'll veto some of the bills that get out like he did last time. But you'll see them really lobby him hard
to try to stave off the inevitable.
Yeah, exactly.
The inevitable crushing.
Yeah, to make it not as bad.
And on that cheerful note,
how scary is it that we have to depend on Governor Brown to be the firewall for the conservatives?
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, what can you possibly say to make that sound better?
Yeah.
We got to take a quick break here. We need to thank our advertisers that are still in business. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love and a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
We're back.
We sound like left radio.
Aaron and I and Bob are laying our heads down on our pillows.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not, because that actually gets me back in the game.
You know, it's funny because you go through a little bit of depression and then anger and then you're pissed and then you get bummed again.
I'm just mad the whole time.
And it's funny because I lay awake nights now thinking about how I can fight back.
It's funny, I wake up in the morning and I go, did that really happen? I'm still doing that. I'm still not sure what day it is. And I'm like, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Go ahead, laugh out there, you rotten liberals. Mike, hi, back to
some
you.
Some of the conspiracy theorists will tell you it didn't really happen.
Well, that's another thing.
That silver lining that everybody's looking for, and we may have already mentioned this, but at the end of the day...
You're throwing out all your movies?
Yeah, that I'm throwing out all my movies. At the end of the day, the Democrats own whatever happens in California. They totally own it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll try to blame the Republicans. How can they?
It's on the fast track to hell. Gee, we start with...
The stupid Republicans voted for us.
Yeah.
There you
go. That must have been it. We've got the California cap and trade starting, on the 14th?
Funny how it all happens after the election.
T-minus three and counting.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Jerry Brown's temporary tax increases, all go through the next election cycle, so that he can get reelected and don't expire until after he's gone.
Of course. Aww. Yeah, so there'll be plenty of money in there. Well,
He thinks.
Okay, yeah. But, they forgot the turnip principle, obviously. As companies leave and they bleed everyone dry. I mean, there's only so much, you can pull from people. Yeah, I heard a stat yesterday. Maybe you've got more fun facts for us, Mike. But I did hear that California had not had over 10% unemployment since World War II.
Yeah, that's correct.
Until Obama got in office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Spectacular.
Yeah, that's correct. And and just to show you how warped Sacramento is. There was a debate on extending unemployment benefits and adding to the federal stuff. And they actually said, that, for every dollar that we give someone that's unemployed, it generates three and, keeps people employed or something like that.
What?
By their logic, then we'd be better off with 50% unemployment, because every dollar we give them generates three.
Yeah, so we should be rolling in it.
Yeah, so.
Instead, they're just...
That's how they think.
Shoveling it. Okay, so they drive out all the businesses. Maybe you've got a look at this cap and trade thing. I mean, how would you encapsulate that for people or package it as the bullet that's going to be fired from the gun on the 14th?
Well, it's going to be, we're going to experiment in something that, they were tried to do at the federal level, but we're basically going to cap emissions and businesses are going to have to buy them, which means price is going to go up, and some businesses will have to get them in order to try to stay here in California, otherwise they'll leave. And, that's what they'll do, they'll leave.
Yeah, because there are 49 other states in what remains of the free world where they can go. That just won't be that complicated. So, and we also decided with, what was it, Prop 39 to tax businesses?
Yeah, it changes the way some corporations... have to file the taxes all of a sudden, and so that will be people will be getting laid off, and prices will go up in order to compensate for that. I mean, I remember I was debating a state senator on the radio about Prop 39. If you tax a business, the people using the business are going to end up paying for it, or they're going to end up firing somebody in order to make up the difference. I mean, that's just
and so all of the job losses, those folks all end up on public assistance, which is of course
great because that generates three times more income.
And then of course they raise our taxes, those of us that are still eking by, in order to pay for all of those folks that have ended up on public assistance. It's a beautiful thing.
That's exactly how it works.
They really have
it's a spiral
great,
with like no off
system.
Ramp and no upside. Do you think that they will pull the trigger on this cap and trade thing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think they'll find out, sort of like they did with the energy, the way they did the energy regulation stuff. That they it ended up being a disaster with blackouts. I think they'll start seeing the problem eventually. But but the problem is, people say, oh, just wait till it gets really really bad, and then people vote for us. But by then, it's too late, and people haven't seen it yet. So,
clearly,
they have. Then the problem is they're voting in Texas. And they're voting in other states.
Yeah. Well, we know. Actually, Elizabeth got a call from somebody who said, oh, yeah, and by the way, we've been building a house in another state.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're gone.
Nobody even knew until they posted a picture on Facebook of, our last day in California is a week from now, and this is our new home in the new state.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye and good luck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, I've had two calls, yeah.
Now we're going to see more of that because, people don't have to live in California in order to do business here now.
Well, and the state is beautiful, but that only flies for so long. After a while, that's just not enough.
Well, it's not beautiful if you can't see any of it.
Yeah.
If you're trapped where you are. So, on the campaign side, what did you see? I mean, did people just run bad races? Was the ground game not there? I mean, were the other guys
Well,
that
there
good?
was uh, there was some turnout issues, but I think the big, you know, California suffered from the same problem they had at the national level, which is horrible, horrible polling. And, you know, the models they used were all wrong, and as a result, we basically were operating under bad intelligence. And as a result of that, I think that cost us some races, some of the real close ones in California, some of the close assembly races that we could have won had we actually knew what was going on and also knew that some of these other races that we thought were close were really just blowouts, and we were still putting money in them at the end.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's one where, you know, the pollsters told us that, you know, our guy's up by one point, and, you know, he got 42% of the vote. You know, so, you know, the models were all wrong as far as the turnout. And I think, you know, Prop 30, the unions did a great job with Prop 30 and, you know, defeating Prop 32. They did a great job turning out people.
How much do you think plays into the whole voter shenanigans?
Well, I think I don't think they needed it this time to do that.
That's a bad answer.
That's a bad answer. Yeah. Well, no, I think
we don't want the truth, Mike.
The one thing that I'm really worried about is, and I haven't been able to see the numbers because the Secretary of State won't release them. I want to know where those million people that registered online, that, you know, a few weeks before the election, where they live. You know, do they live evenly throughout all of California, or do we register a bunch of people in Palestine? You know,
do they all live in L.A. County?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or are they only in our key districts? You know, I'm is something that I still think we got to delve into, because I think that's a problem.
Well, so the people who voted online, my understanding was that they could...
Registered
online, yeah. Mm-hmm. They registered, but my understanding was they had to print that out and then send it in just like a registration form. Not so?
But some of them didn't show up on the voter rolls too, I guess, when people came to vote. So, but I still want to know where those people were.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not like it was hard to register to vote before. So, I still want to know where suddenly these million people came from. But
well, the
unions did a great job scaring everybody. You know,
sure.
And 30 and 32, and actually the Proposition 32 campaign made a strategic blunder because they did not challenge the law with a referendum that moved all the initiatives to November. Otherwise, they could have done that in June, and that would have been much better for all of us.
Okay, so say that one more time.
Strategy. Yeah, they qualified Prop 32 for the June ballot, but then the Democrats passed a law moving all initiatives to November.
They didn't challenge that one.
And if they would have done a referendum, which would have cost a few million dollars, and they spent, you know, way more than that, they could have stopped that bill until after the June election that their initiative was on. And it's clear it would have been much better if it was in June than what happened in November, because not only did it lose in November, but it helped swamp some of our candidates.
Oh, because they supported it, or just because it took focus off or took money away? Or
well, no, that? Just because the unions used that to organize.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, I mean, their livelihood was on the line, and they acted like it.
Man. Yeah, see, we've got the Raley's stores. I don't know if it's everywhere, but up here anyway, the Raley's stores, their guys are on strike, and one lady we know called the corporate office and said, well, what is the problem anyway? And turned out it was like $80 they needed to pay toward insurance.
You know, I was doing some research on that last night, and unfortunately, unless you are in the middle of the negotiations, it's going to be a he said, but it's still, from the perspective of the public, it's hard to imagine that they could have, that anything could be that bad.
Yeah.
At this point, especially if you are unionized. We all know that that the way in America now is that union employees have it extremely well. So hard to imagine that it could be so bad that they really need to strike at a time like this.
Yeah, so people are finding, we're finding there's pretty low sympathy factor, so got a lot of people crossing the picket line to support the folks at Raley's. There are a lot of employees who couldn't afford to strike. They're like, hey, you know what, I need my job.
Yeah.
And in California right now, like the idea of going out on strike and just throwing it all to the wind, it's like, what are you thinking?
Well, the other thing is the grocery industry, you know, they're consolidating, closing different, chains are closing stores. The last, if you want to teach people to go to other stores, you know, that does make sense. If you're Really, right?
And they're really encouraging people not to shop at these Raley stores. And if you are listening and you live in the area, we will be doing a little bit of a shopping spree at Raley's in Reading, both locations on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock, and we'll all be wearing stickers or buttons or something that say, I shop Raley's. So we're definitely going to be supporting those stores and all those employees that did not picket.
Yeah, or still want jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Better cling to them while they've got them. All right, we need to take a swift break here again. We'll be back with Mike Spence, talking smack about California politics, because that's all we got left.
Smack.
It's the smack, not the California politics. See you in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small, beside the victory, that's the destiny.
They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
We're back. You're joining Aaron Elizabeth and Bob Martin and our guest Mike Spence.
Wasn't a good day for the Crimson Tide yesterday either. Number one football team in the country. Lost.
Bummer.
It's that kind of week.
So the Aggies.
It just is. It's We the People Radio. Hey, so the one
Texas
thing...
Texas A&M, not UC Davis.
We don't know what you're talking about.
The one thing that we still have the power to do is we vote with our dollar. I mean, you guys, it's really time to draw a line in the sand and take a really hard stand against those that don't support conservative values. And that's going to include some businesses. And, I'm going to make up little notes that say in a very nice way that I can no longer support your cause because of the current election and the impending tax increases. There goes all my extra money. And you can put those, you can carry those around in your wallet or in your purse. You can put them in tip jars everywhere you go. You can put them everywhere. I mean, that is one way to let people know why their donations are down and why people are not supporting their causes any longer. I mean, there's ways to get the message across.
Yep, we're not going to be able to.
No, literally.
Mike, what do you think will get people's attention?
Well, if I knew that, we wouldn't have a supermajority of Democrats. You know, it was really troubling when you looked at the exit polling and, you know, on the economy, you know, Mitt Romney won those that voted based on, you know, that issue. He only won by 4%. And you would think, what? You know, but I think we have over time, you know, people have got it in their head that if there's a problem, government's going to help them. And if they haven't helped them yet, then what we need is more government. And I really think that, you know, instead of going the other way when government fails, and realize that people should just do it themselves. But I think they just say, oh, let's have more government. That'll solve the problem. And I think that is, in California, that is a problem that I'm not sure how we get around.
Yeah,
it's almost like, nothing bad enough has happened yet. So why not just keep doing it? Because right now we can have all our, you know, all the excessive, you know, union benefits and excessive welfare and cell phones for,
because,
you know,
because the money still manages to materialize.
Yeah, because the money keeps coming, so it must be okay.
And we don't have quite enough people sleeping on the streets yet. But the problem is,
and we must
you know,
be hysterical about
it. We're gambling because if you push the envelope too far and it goes over the edge and you wait until things are catastrophic, it may be impossible to get it back again. It's very risky to wait until things get that bad.
Well, you know, I agree. And I think, you know, the public might have a wake-up call because, you know, there's going to be budget cuts in education anyways.
Sure.
You know, and so in their heads, though, they you know, and the people, you know, against Prop 30 didn't do a good job because they should have literally listed all the times people voted to give schools more money. You know, Prop 98, the lottery, all this kind of stuff, you know, and now we're going to do it again. And,
You know,
I don't think people realize that.
I had a conversation with my mother yesterday, Erin, and I love to use our mothers as analogies. And, you know, she's an intelligent woman and you know, aware of what's going on. And so I said, well, now that we've passed Prop 30, government employees are coming out in force, and they've got their hands out already. I mean, in our county, we've got unions running ads for our county employees
yeah,
already wanting to bump up their pay. I mean, they were there the day after the election. So I'm explaining this to my mother, and I'm saying, you know, with that Prop 30 passing, everybody's ready to get their hand out. I mean, their hands are literally out waiting for this money. And she said, well, you know, I think they're really going to manage this money better this time. And I said, well, why do you think that? And she says, well, I don't know. I really think after everything that's happened, they're really going to pay close attention to where it goes. And I said, well, it's pretty tough to do that when it gets dumped into the general budget because it gets kind of caught up with all the other funds, and I don't know how you tell them apart.
Right, and they never put welfare on the ballot. I mean, you know, they never put all the stuff people don't like on the ballot. You know?
Good point.
Yeah, it's, well, so that's the mindset out there. People are either naive or they're crossing their fingers, holding their nose, and hoping that it turns out okay. I don't know.
And actually, you know, and we have more and more people that are dependent on government either for jobs or, you know, I don't want to go all Mitt Romney with 47% or whatever. But you have, you know, government employees, and I think that's one of the reasons we have problems in a district that's supposed to be Republican in Sacramento, is it's just full of government employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, you know, it becomes a problem.
Well, and I don't know. I'm not big on the public employee unions. I mean, if it's tax dollars involved,
mm-hmm,
get right with that. I mean, if you want to be a public sector union, then, you know, you can deal with that because the public can actually fight back on that. If they're unhappy with what's going on there and the cost of the product or good or service, they don't buy it. But the public sector stuff, you're kind of screwed.
Right. And on top of it, you know, the public sector unions, they don't really negotiate with the public. They, you know, negotiate with whatever board that they just poured millions of dollars in to help elect.
Yeah. And how many union people, I mean, how many folks that are actually involved in that system really understand how it works, do you think?
Or
just
they,
as a vague percentage,
or do
just
they,
based
or
on
do
what
they
you
care?
Know.
I think there's a lot that don't care, and there's a lot that don't know how it works. They just, you know, this is what they're told. Well, you know, when I was doing presentations in different places, you know, on the initiatives in my non-biased way, you know, people would stand up and I'm going to lose my job if, you know, Prop 30 doesn't pass, you know. And
you're probably going to lose it anyway.
And yeah, exactly. I mean, that, you know, so.
And the thing they don't realize is that there aren't that many people that you can take money from. They never look at how the pendulum swings. They don't realize that the numbers of people that are on some kind of government entitlement program, whatever it is, as long as that continues to grow and grow and grow, there aren't that many people to take it from. And they think that they can soak the rich. Well, the rich didn't get rich by being stupid. They know how to shelter their money, and they know how to move out of California if somebody tries to go after it. I mean, it's just a pipe dream.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, people got to, we got to break that mindset, and obviously what people learn in schools is a problem. And, you know, those things all I've compounded here in California to show. Hopefully it won't happen in the rest of the nation, what happens here.
God. Well, if they're smart, they're paying attention.
What about Prop 13?
You know? Well, I think Prop 13, I think you can see the legislature pass some changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one thing they keep trying to focus on is to go after the corporate property taxes. And, you know, I mean, if they actually are able to do some kind of split roll, it's called, that would be devastating to especially mom-and-pop businesses. I mean, Walmart will find a way to pay. But,
well,
you know, if, you're, if you just have one store, if you just have one store, I mean, you know, and suddenly you got to pay a huge property tax increase, you just won't be able to do it.
What are some other things you think that they'll come after early on? Like, I mean, all the we live under, as do other people do too, but up here we see a ton of environmental regulation.
Oh, I think you're going to see much more of that. And I think what you're going to see, too, is a much more indoctrination in schools. You know, we just saw the tip of the iceberg with the, you know, gay textbook stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see much more intrusion onto the public school system as far as teaching what they want to have taught, the way they want to have it taught by the people they want to have teach it. I think you'll see that. But I think first they're going to do stuff to mess around with the rules on initiatives and voting to make it harder for us to take it back.
So, Mike, given your experience and looking back historically, at what point in the future do you see the pendulum start to swing back the other way?
That really depends on a lot of things. I mean, because sometimes, you know, the pendulum swings really fast. I mean, we saw that with, you know, Obamacare, you know. You know, it swung really fast for us taking the House. Same with Bill Clinton's first term as presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in California, when we've had big gains, they've usually coincided with initiatives, whether it was Prop 13, some crime ones in the 80s, and then, of course, the Republicans actually ran the Assembly in 1994. There was a nationwide sweep, but also Prop 187 was on the ballot. And, you know, so I think, you know, that has been actually a better way for us to kind of take things back than the pendulum swing. I don't think the pendulum's really, really swung. And then, of course, we have the problem of, well, you know, people like Schwarzenegger, I think it swung there.
Oh, by the way.
It swung the wrong way, yeah.
I got rid of all my Terminator movies.
Good call.
I wanted to remind everybody of that. Arnold Schwarzenegger no longer has a place in my DVD library.
It'll be back.
Sorry, I had to say that.
Yeah, no. So I mean, I'm proud. I never voted for him in either one of the elections, and I'm proud of it, and I don't regret it at all. But you know, he actually did great damage because that was one time where the pendulum swung against Davis and the Democrats, and he ran like he was a conservative, and then he decided that he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that hurt us big.
That was just very disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, but, you know, come on, married to Shriver and all that.
I know. Everybody knew.
That was probably a Trojan horse deal. And then it turned out, never mind, I've gone a bad place.
Yeah, you're going down a bad road there.
I'm going down a bad road.
Yeah,
if it was a Trojan horse, we wouldn't have had so much scandal.
Bob's over there with his finger on all the buttons and sweat pouring down his brow. All right, we'll be
that's laughing a bad place, helplessly.
And that's a bad place, too. Okay, we better take a quick break. We'll be back with Mike Spence talking about California politics or the lack thereof here at KCNR. You're listening to We the People Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Three Fire Media.
Won't you save me, San Francisco?
Speaking of San Francisco, love this. Okay, again, I don't care what... I guess I tend to lean libertarian in my social issues because I don't care what you do as long as I don't have to pay for it. Well, in San Francisco, they just passed a city tax that requires taxpayers pay for transgender surgery for anybody that thinks they need it.
That's a public employee.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a public employee deal.
Isn't that great?
Oh,
that is awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
They wonder why California's going broke.
Exactly. You need a hip replacement? Go to prison so you can get it done for free there. You need gender bender? You go to San Francisco and get a job at the city.
Woo-hoo! Isn't that something?
It's awesome.
Gotta love it.
Hey, so, Mike, I'm glad you joined us on the Snarky Hour.
Yeah.
What snarky tips do you have for us? Or observations, or, you know.
For
anything.
What?
You know.
For anything?
Yeah.
Well, you mean as far as political stuff?
Yeah, or, you know, hey, you know, we've obviously gone...
Where do we go from here?
We've totally wandered off.
Where do we go?
Weeds.
Well, obviously, you know, I my big concern is that Republicans are going to go ahead and just sell out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that they're going to be so afraid of speaking up that they will end up, you know, supporting the Dems and some of their crazy ideas. And, I mean, we've had that happen before, but, you know, I could see that, you know, some of these people... You know, they're so insecure, they're so worried about trying to stay in office that they think if they, you know, let the crocodile eat their hand, then everything will be okay.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, with the supermajority, the Democrats don't even have to put things to a vote. So the Republicans are going to have a very scant voting record, if any, on a lot of these taxes and all of these things that they're going to push through. So
they'll make them vote for it, though. They'll want it on.
And we saw this cycle more than any other, you know, Republicans. It was really, you know, it was kind of interesting in a couple of competitive races, Republicans who refused to sign the no tax pledge, right? And yet the people that love that, the special interests, including big business, they, you know, ended up supporting the Democrat in that marginal seat anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you didn't get anything for it, you know, and in their head, they were doing some calculation on how they'd get support and from the chamber and this kind of stuff, and it didn't work.
And so if you've got Republicans that are voting with the Democrats so they can save their job, you know, you just end up back where you started, because the average voter is going to say, well, what's the point of voting if I'm voting for somebody that's going to vote with the Democrats anyway?
Exactly.
I mean,
and that's
how do you
exactly
ever
what hurts
get,
our brand.
How do you ever get out of the quicksand?
Well, I think, you know, that it's going to have to be the people that do that. You know, one thing that could be exciting on the Republican end next cycle if they pull it off, and that is, you know, the Republican Party does endorsements, and they did it this cycle with a backroom cabal of, you know, some people that, you know, voted, 12, 15 people that decided. You know, but they're actually supposed to be doing an online, you know, pre-primary where people... regular voters will decide who we endorse, and then we have the primary, and then we have the general election. So maybe that will generate some interest in Republicans and make us organize earlier, because I don't think any candidate's been harmed by organizing earlier.
Right.
And I think that, you know.
And again, you know, you said that it comes back to the people, and it's always been us. At the end of the day, it's always going to be us. We're going to have to fight for ourselves.
Yeah, and get the government we deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just keep going back. I mean, I was awake all night thinking about this. And as individuals, we have to take a stand and draw a line in the sand. I mean, honestly, it's been drawn for us. And we have to be willing to step up and not only push back, but to let people clearly know that we're not playing with them anymore. If they weren't willing to vote, if they voted against freedom and liberty, we have to be willing to say, I can't do you anymore. I don't want to buy your service. I don't want to buy what you offer. There's got to be a price to it.
Elections must have consequences. However, now we have a bunch of companies that will have to start contributing to the Democrats or be crushed by them. So, I don't know.
Well, they already do. I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
we see that a lot.
California, they've always donated to Democrats more than Republicans.
Well, then they got the government that they wished for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Mike on the line, kind of, he called, and we sort of blew him off here. Oops. Bad clicking noises?
No, just clicking him in.
Oh, clicking him in. So, Mike, how's life up there in, I'm sorry, we have Mike and Mike. Hey, this is like Joe Dirt. We got Mike 1 and Mike 2. I'm supposed to blow on him. Mike 1 and Mike 2.
My brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
That's a different movie.
Now we have six
that's
mics.
That's a different movie. You can purge that one, too.
We have six mics in the control room now.
Nice.
Yes.
So, Mike, what's going on up there in Siskiyou County?
Oh, well, everybody's kind of in shock. But I'm not surprised. We keep putting candidates out, and I'm going to go against the grain here, that want to do social engineering. And Most people don't want that, you know. We put candidates out to say they're against gay marriage. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
We were actually listening.
They're against gay marriage or against abortion, all these other social engineering issues that should be left the hell out of politics. That's a personal choice for a lot of people. And we put these candidates out, and the people that say, hey, wait a minute, I want fiscal responsibility, but I don't want you to tell me that I can't have an abortion. I don't want you to tell me that I can't be gay. You know, I don't want you to tell me that I have to wear a pink hat on Tuesday and a red hat on Wednesday. We keep combining personal moral issues with our government. And personal moral issues are kept at home or closer to home, like state or local government.
You know, I was listening to a call yesterday on another show where the caller was talking about the cost of morality or the lack of morality to the taxpayer. And it just kind of comes full circle. It's such a great point, because if you just keep all of the social issues completely out of it, if you defund all of that, it tends to take care of itself.
Well, I agree. Now, you know,
the flip side of that, then, is they're voting for candidates, though, that actually want to social engineer even more. And in San Diego, they rejected, you know, the first time. I mean, there was literally an openly gay councilman who's a Republican that, you know, that he lost. He lost.
I think San Diego's
Republican, used to be a place where Republicans got elected mayor. And, you know, and they elected somebody that wants a social engineer on a way larger scale than, you know, the candidates that, you know, you're talking about.
And he lost to a person whose demographic was what?
Bob Filner, a congressman who is a horrible, who's actually not that good a human being, but a horrible congressman, you know, that has voted to, you know, mandate all kinds of different social engineering projects. And, you know, I think, you know, so, you know, people say they don't want government, you know, to decide certain things, but, you know, in reality, they keep voting for government to decide all kinds of stuff.
I disagree with you.
Well, government decides more now than it ever did.
Mm-hmm. No, I the results are that way. But, for instance, in the national election, they showed that only 38% of the registered Republicans actually came out and voted. Okay? So, there's a great deal of the silent majority has become silent again. And the vocal majority is running the country.
Okay, hold on. We've got a hard news break here. So we've got to say goodbye to both our mics, actually, because we've got a five-minute news break. So Mike
Spence,
from Horse
thank
Creek,
you.
Hang with us through the next hour. Mike Spence, we'll let you go to church.
Great.
And,
thank you
very much. Can you pray for our snarkiness, please? And we'd like to have you on again when maybe it's not D-Day.
Hey, anytime.
Super appreciate it. Hang with us, everybody. You're listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back in 5 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
More of We the People next at KCNR, Shasta Redding.